living in the Portland, Oregon area as not like the rescuing that was happening in Bible Belt parts of the country, where it was like, okay, you could go out and you could do this, and a lot of people would really respect you for it. And, you know, you didn't get hammered by the courts, and it was just sort of one of those things. I don't mean there was no sacrifice, but let's just say Portland, Oregon is not the Bible Belt.
I think there's videos today that prove, from last week, that prove that Portland, Oregon is not the Bible Belt. I mean, it's a different sort of context.
Well, it is. And in fact, I was reading the figures the other day, the latest poll figures of largest number of atheists in any city in America, 6% higher than both Seattle and San Francisco, which are tied for second.
Wow.
I mean, this is the world we live in. And even back then, in the late 80s and early 90s, when you went to court about this issue, or when you were arrested because of this issue, it was front page of the newspaper. I'm a pastor. My name, my image, me standing in front of an abortion clinic, like reading a Bible just peacefully, nonviolently. And yet it was so outrageous that anyone could do this, even though we had homosexual protests, environmentalist protests where people chained themselves to trees to keep our cousin the tree from dying and being cut down by a logger. And that was all acceptable because it was kind of politically correct civil disobedience. But we did pattern ourselves after the civil rights movement and the lunch counter sit-ins and things like that. But it was basically just blocking passively, you know, this entrance to a clinic and giving alternatives to abortion. Well, we got hammered big time.
Hold on. I want to ask you something, Randy, before we go further, because there's something that struck me over the last several years as how many people say they're pro-life, and yet that's not the same number as are willing to actually do anything. You know, reach out to a pregnant teenager or to show up and even pray across the street from a clinic. I told a story in the book that I wrote with Warren Smith called Restoring All Things about a priest on the East Coast who just shut down all of his work in order to save one child because he'd heard that parents were abortion-minded. And even if you talk about Catholic priests, there's a difference between priests that will say, don't do that, and priests that will go on a campaign to find 800 adoptive parents. When you're talking about the sort of cultural pressure in Portland, Oregon, and the potential, and I know you didn't know how deep this rabbit hole was going to go when you first jumped into it, but something made you an activist, not just a believer. And can you help us think through that a little bit? There's a lot of people that say they're pro-life and don't do a thing. You did a lot. Why?
I think it became a reality to me, John, when when we had this girl live with us and knew that she had had two abortions, which she opened up about.
Wow.
Seeing how she came to Christ when she was with us, which was a beautiful thing. And then also seeing the contentment she had in placing her third child for adoption. Now, that's not an easy thing to do at all. And fast forwarding numbers of years, we were there for the reunion of her with her birth child. He was at age 33. She met him and we were there. And it was an unbelievable thing. And they have a great relationship now. But just the difference of knowing that, yes, I have a child that I placed for adoption that's out there somewhere and I don't even really know where, but I know that he's in a Christian home. And it turns out, you know, God's been at work in his life all along. But the difference between that and the regret she was feeling over the abortion. So I think that's when the reality of it hit me on two levels. One is the value of the life of the child, but also the value of the life of the mom.
Right.
And the difference between giving a child life and how you feel about yourself and the utter shame and guilt, which did not come from the outside. This was not Christians who made her feel shame and guilt.
Not in Portland, right?
yeah, exactly. She was feeling the shame and the guilt just internally with the conscience that, you know, God had given her. So I think that's what made it real to me.